Why don't we talk a little bit about your 37-year-old lady?
This is a fairly recent case that I saw. She has a long history of endometriosis and infertility, and she actually developed this breast lump while she was trying to get pregnant with IVF. And admittedly, probably ignored this breast mass because she was so focused on her fertility issues. But she came in with quite a large mass in the upper portion of her left breast. On ultrasound, it measured 4.9 centimeters, and a core needle biopsy was done, which showed this to be ER positive, PR 100%, and HER2 negative. KA67 was 25%. We did an MRI. It showed, as it typically does, that the breast mass was even larger at about 5.5 centimeters. And this was a patient that had quite a small breast. She had a B-cup breast. She has a 5-centimeter mass in it. The mass is visible. And yet she is more focused on her fertility issues than on her breast cancer. She's like, just treat the breast cancer so I can go on and try to get pregnant. And we did discuss doing preoperative chemotherapy in her. She was clinically node negative. The MRI did not show any axillary lymphadenopathy. And the plan that we eventually formulated that she felt was best for her was we just decided to do a mastectomy, no reconstruction. We really thought this was a patient who probably was going to get radiation. With that size tumor, you would expect the 50% chance of having some occult lymph node involvement, if not obvious lymph node involvement. And on her MRI, there was concern that she might have muscle involvement, although the muscle did not enhance. The tumor was abutting the muscle, although I will say that the tumor was occupying the whole thickness of her breast.
So we were talking before about genomic assays in the neoadjuvant setting. Did you consider that in her?
You know, we talked about it, but this, again, she was, my next cycle is coming up, and I want to time the surgery around that cycle. I mean, this really is the focus for her. I mean, it's interesting. When you talk to patients, you kind of get a sense of what direction you're going to go with your recommendations for them.
I mean, I think most patients, if they were told that by avoiding chemotherapy, hormone therapy, they might be losing, let's just say, a 1 out of 10 chance of avoiding recurrence. That's huge, okay? Do you think that this patient was so motivated about having a child that she would have foregone that 1 out of 10 chance to, you know, avoid that therapy?
You know, I think that she really felt that she didn't fall into that category because she was perceiving this as a month, you know, a finite period of time that she was going to delay treatment. And her whole mindset was to get the cancer out. I did have her meet with a medical oncologist, and she wanted to have surgery first because then she had the opportunity to have more cycles for IVF.
Well, I guess my point is, if you could figure out whether or not she would have, let's say, accepted chemotherapy adjuvantly, you know, that's what I mean. If you go, yeah. If you say to her, look, there could be a situation where chemotherapy might, let's say, relate cause a 1 in 10 chance you would avoid recurrence. So if she would say, well, wait a minute, if it's that big, I'll go through it and I'll take my chances in terms of pregnancy. Because if she would, I would argue that she could have had it pre-op.
Absolutely.
You know, if she had a high recurrence score and you know that right now, why not give it to her now? You're going to give it to her post-op anyhow.
That's exactly right. But on the other hand, and I tried to get her to downstage. I was actually worried that she was even operable.
Absolutely. It sounds like a real concern.
I mean, I really had to, I had to take enough skin so that she had a very tight closure, but I was able to do it. And as it turned out, I think that was the right choice for her, actually. And I don't think we did anything that made her chances of survival lower.
I mean, the good thing is, I see she had an oncotype and it was low.
And it was low, and that's now the question. You know, you got a 37-year-old with a low oncotype. She's seen two different medical oncologists. Actually, I was kind of surprised I wasn't going to order an oncotype on her. I was just thinking she's going to get chemotherapy. And she went to see the first medical oncologist, and they said, well, let's order an oncotype. But that being said, I think the patient is going to have chemotherapy, even with this low.
Really?
Yeah, I think she is.
Wow.
I mean, she's getting her fertility issues sorted out.
Wow.
And I mean, she's still in the process of deciding. But this is a tough call, I think.
Well, I mean, her recurrence score is 16, so it's low. But, I mean, it could be lower. But
16
is pretty low. And you wonder whether there was any point in doing it if she's still going to get chemo. I mean, getting back to this, is it a sort of deal changer? But she's also going to have to think about hormone therapy. So she's premenopausal, right?
Yeah. Yes, she
is. So she's heading for tamoxifen, which is going to be an issue in terms of, you know, if she wants to get pregnant, she's going to have to stop it.
Well, actually, it's interesting. They have used letrozole during her fertility treatments.
Well, that's really fascinating. I am curious. Again, we just did a survey asking people the way they approach genomic testing. On this situation, you used it in her. She had a 4.3 centimeter node negative tumor.
Yes, we had not said that her nodes were negative, but I think we need to be sure we've specified that.